The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show, presented by Masters Law and Parmar. I'm Anthony Lewis in the studio today with Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, and the GOAT, Avon Coburn, number 22. Gentlemen, it's number good to see you guys.
In your heart.
And we are celebrating.
We've
beat Pitt. And I'm happy today.
You don't sound very happy, but I'm excited, guys, because let me explain to you why. Because I got to see a lot of my old teammates. That was a fantastic time.
2-0, 4-2, 4-3. I don't care. They beat Pitt. That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. A win over Pitt is always a great win.
Yeah, it was a good day.
That's right. Incredible atmosphere. It felt like I had my childhood back. That was the best game day vibe. For WVU, I've seen in an awfully long time.
Yeah, so I got in there right when the band was finishing up. And, you know, usually there's some sections that are kind of empty and people are still filing in. I was probably the last person in the stadium. There was nobody behind me. Everybody was already in their seats. And the fans, tipping my hat to you guys, everybody that was in that stadium, they were rocked and rolled last night. It felt like old school WVU. Big game atmosphere, and it definitely felt like a great backyard brawl.
It was. I mean, and I was one of the fans that was in the stands, and it was bittersweet because I felt like I should have been in the booth, somewhere high and up in the air.
Could have came and sat with me.
Yeah, it was a great time. I mean, my whole family was there. The excitement. Just the atmosphere felt like. WVU football is back, like Texas, right?
No. Well, that's probably going to be the result, yeah. Same as Texas.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, all right, let me go around the horn here. Your first impression, what did you guys take away from the game? I mean, were you just happy to get the win, or was there anything that excited you, or was there anything that disappointed you? What did you take away from it?
Well, I was super excited about the win. Like, to me, I was excited to get the win, but as I watched the game, I saw the fact that we are not a very good football team. I mean, we lost our starting quarterback, which could have been a gift or a curse. We still won, but we beat a bad football team. Which again, we beat Pitt, great win, but we're not as good as we need to be.
I was thrilled to get the win. I'm kind of in the same boat as Avon here, but my big takeaway is, man, Pitt's quarterback's bad. He's bad. I feel sorry for the kid in a way because, I mean, you know, it's not his fault that he might be. Who thought that anybody in the Power Five would have more questions at quarterback than West Virginia?
Yeah.
And they do because he's bad.
There's a few people. Alabama's on that list, too. They have some questions at quarterback, Oklahoma State. No joke, one of the worst college football performances I've ever seen. And the problem with it is that when the West Virginia pressure came, he didn't step into throws. He literally went on his back foot and threw it up for grabs three times, also had no running game. From a West Virginia perspective, despite the fact that Neil Brown was forced to do it with the Garrett Green injury, it was nice to see consistent C.J. Donaldson between the tackles, and I'm excited to see what you get with Nico if he gets a full week of practice.
Yeah, so we've got some issues. You know, obviously, you don't know what's going to come from the loss of Garrett Green. Looked like a high ankle sprain, which probably will take 3 or 4 weeks to get him back on the field. But the thing that concerns me the most is the C.J. Donaldson. You know, and it was really the way he put his hands over his face, like, oh, no, not again type of thing. But it did make me feel better that he got up and walked off the field, but we didn't see him the rest of the night. Jalen Anderson came in, did a fine job closing out the game. But we'll see what happens because, you know, I think losing C.J. Donaldson changes the dynamics of this football team. The quarterback thing, eh. But the Donaldson loss would be a huge one.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but I agree with you on the fact that C.J. Donaldson being downed is the biggest story of it all. the bigger story for me is the play calling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he meaning Neil Brown, he's calling the plays. And if CJ didn't get hurt, who would be, I mean, how would the game have been called? I mean, would there be a lot more passes? So, again, what I like to see is we have a dynamic player. Feature him. Give him 30 carries a game. Find a way to get him 30 touches a game. Not put it in a position to where we're going to throw the ball 40 and 50 times. I mean, yeah, we played a bad Duquesne team that we had some breakout receivers. Cool. Our bread and butter is that big 240-pound, 6'3" running back we have back there.
Yeah, I was glad, though. I didn't think it was horrible last night. There were some questionable play calls, but at the same time, we only threw 11 passes, which was refreshing to see. CJ carried it about 18 times before he got hurt. You know, he's got to learn, too. You can't take your helmet off when you get in the end zone. I think he learned that last night.
I kind of like that. I thought that was kind of like
an emotional. Yeah, he was showing some emotion. I do like the fire, but keep the helmet on.
Yeah, the only thing that concerned me, of course, I thought was you've got that first personal foul in a big game or in a big rivalry game. And then if you get baited into something else, it's that, you know how people, one person punches in the face and the other guy punches back real quick. Boom, he would have been ejected. So that was the only part. But I kind of enjoyed the fact he threw it. I wish he would have spun his helmet.
I love him showing some fire, though. I do love the passion.
Yeah, so, you know, and I'm going to kind of get back to what Avon was saying about the play calling. I mean, the thing about it that's kind of confusing to me is the fact that you lose your quarterback and you really have no packages or nothing ready for Nico. And that was the concerning part. And I guess I get it. Like, you're playing a really bad Pitt team and you can just run the football, run the clock. They couldn't really stop you. Mm. They had to sell out to stop West Virginia. And even when it kind of reminded me of Rich Rod, like, oh man, they're selling out and nobody's going to throw the football tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because it'll be in the locker room report later. He said that it was a big play sheet to start the night, and then he condensed it to some notes that he scribbled at halftime after that. So, I don't know.
Do you think that Coach Brown's got the monkey off his back with Pitt? Was that or we have to wait to see the results of next week?
Until Saturday, for now.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the offense and the defense. And don't forget, later in the show, WVU great Charles Emanuel will join us. We'll do all that after this on the Touchdown City Show.
Encarna Digital Marketing is a proud sponsor of the Touchdown City Show. For websites and your digital marketing needs, visit digitalmarketingwv.com.
Green 18! Green 18 on touch!
The most wonderful time of the year is here. Of course, I'm talking about football season, and your local Parmar stores are ready. Hey, it's Dave Allen. Whether you need to gas up the tank, grab a bite to eat, or stock up on snacks and drinks for the tailgate party or for your own couch, Parmar's got you covered. Parmar is the official store of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission and of Marshall University. Happy football, and remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon.
Have you been injured at no fault of your own? The Masters Law Firm is on your side and here to help you in your time of need. With decades of experience, we've successfully helped clients recover hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation. Our team understands the toll that injuries take on victims and their families, offering both legal expertise and unwavering support. Visit our website at themasterslawfirm.com or call us today at 304-342-3106 for a free consultation. Your journey to recovery starts with us.
Get more bank for your business with United Bank. Whether you'd like to start a business, purchase commercial real estate or equipment, United Bank can help. We support business development throughout our great state, making business and consumer loans and fueling opportunities. Small business owners' dreams come true and larger corporations grow. What can we do for your business? United Bank, West Virginia's bank. Proud to be united with the Mountaineers. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. Gentlemen, we are celebrating a victory over the Pitt Panthers in the backyard brawl. It's been a minute since they've been in Morgantown. What did you guys think of the atmosphere as far as continuously through the game? The fans were into it the entire time. What did you guys think of the atmosphere up there?
Oh, I thought it was awesome. I mean, me being there, my family's first time. all together at a pit game. I mean, having my kids swing sing Sweet Caroline and then look at me and saying, "What are they saying?" was awesome. I mean, just everything around the game, except for the fact that WVU didn't have anything for the former players to bring them back and kind of celebrate them. That was kind of a downer, but the atmosphere was phenomenal.
On TV, it sounded good. I could hear what Pitt does all night. It was plain as day on TV. It sounded like a great atmosphere. I mean, the fans were really into the game four quarters. It sounded great, and I mean, obviously, I wasn't there. But on TV, it looked good and sounded good.
Over 61,000 in the stadium, probably like 100,000 outside of the stadium. Morgantown EMS was active. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I saw a lot of ambulances going by the tailgate. You know, one thing that was interesting was, like I had mentioned to you guys before, I was probably one of the last people in the stadium, but there were thousands of people walking away. Like, right. Well, we don't have tickets. We just came to tailgate party. We're going home for the night. So let me put it to you this way. The blue lot was rocking, and all the surrounding areas was rocking. It was a really good time. I'm paying for it today. I'm a little tired. Not hungover, but I am paying for it because I didn't get much rest.
Morgantown defeated several thousand last night. We'll go ahead and put it that way. It always wins.
Hold on. Quick story, and I've tweeted this out. I want to show it to you guys. So we were there at the tailgate right there on Willowdale. And I see this commotion. I hear this person fall. And what has happened is, with the sidewalk, there's a slight slope, and then the yard kind of flattens out. And I look, and there's like this girl over there laying in the weeds and the trees, boo-hooing, and she will not get up, and she's cussing her friend and flipping her friend off. And I look over, it's like, oh, we should help her. And then I look at her shirt, and it's a Pitt fan.
Right, she's
look
boo-hooing.
At her boo-hooing.
Morgantown has won again.
She saw their quarterback play last week. She was aware.
We did get her a water and checked on her, but then we've reminded her that Morgantown's undefeated, sweetheart.
Right.
Morgantown 1 million visitors, nothing.
Zero.
All right. Let's talk about this West Virginia defense, where last week we came in and talked about what a mess we thought the defensive backfield was. Three interceptions yesterday. And probably could have had more.
Yeah, I mean, I think we dropped two, or maybe one or two.
Wait,
we dropped.
It was three.
And I mean, our D line played. I mean, after the first series, they played lights out. Our front seven played phenomenal. Our DBs again. I mean, they were back there catching punts. I mean, if they were any good at catching punts, you know, they actually showed their skills. And I think our kick returner caught one of those, and it was easy for him. I mean, but again, there were still holes and gaps that will be exploited by a Texas Tech team.
I agree. I thought that, but you know, kudos to the defense because it's been maligned, especially the secondary. They've taken a beating over the last couple of years. Fans have been all over them, but kudos to them. And I thought they made the biggest play of the game with the first interception by Burns, I believe that's – what's it?
Aubrey Burks.
Burks, I'm sorry. I keep calling him Burns. Burks made a great play.
Like George Burns?
Yeah, I keep calling him Burns. I don't know why. Burks makes a great play, sets West Virginia's first touchdown up and kind of got the momentum for WVU, and they carried it on for the rest of the game. Kudos to Burks for making a play, and kudos to the defense for stepping up and holding Pitt to 6 points and 215 yards.
Holding them to that first field goal was crucial on the initial drive of the game. One shout out, Trey Lathan played wonderful. He was the leading tackler and just made timely plays to get the Mountaineers off the field.
Yeah, so Pitt came out and basically, I don't think they even threw the ball in the first possession of the game, marched the ball all the way down the field, then all of a sudden they stalled. And that felt like a big victory to me, because when they didn't punch it in, I thought, man, they could go up 7-0 pretty quick and flatten this crowd out.
Right.
And they held them to three, and I felt, all right, well, this is pretty good.
It was a straight attitude drive. They just ran. I was like, oh, my goodness, this could get ugly early if we're not careful.
Actually, I was walking into the little area we were sitting, and Mike Logan said, man, we might get blown out.
I mean, they ran every single down, though. It was a straight every single down. They didn't even put it in the air and ran all the way down to like the three. Yeah, and well, thankfully, the defense stood up.
That's an attitude. When you can run a football on the team, that's an attitude. And him being a safety understands, man, we can't stop these guys up front. And that's what I thought. But they just started making plays. Koba showed up. You know, our D-line was just in the backfield.
I have to give it, the defensive coordinator his due this week. He made those adjustments after that first possession and basically put the nicks on all that. There was nothing happening after that.
They didn't really move the ball. They didn't move the ball after the first possession. Pitt didn't.
Yeah, because they knew. Like, I mean, at first they were like, well, let's make sure that he's not going to throw the ball for 600 yards. And once they realized that ain't going to happen, you know, front seven was like, all right, we got this.
They were really trying to come out and establish the run so they could set up their play action.
Right.
Which you have to do when you have a
subpar quarterback.
So
we're going to give him a little bit of love.
Yeah, subpar. It's a good way to put it. But, yeah, I mean, that's what you have to do to kind of cover that up, and then it gives them an opportunity. But, you know, after that first possession, they couldn't do anything to slow down or just to try to get through West Virginia's defense. So, you know, kudos to the defensive front and the linebackers. Koba played well yesterday. I'm happy. I'm ecstatic.
Here's this for a stat from yesterday. First half passing yards, WVU 35, Pitt 33.
It's like an Army-Navy game.
And I think the West Virginia's defensive backs ended up with more returns on picks than the receivers for Pitt had on stat sheet.
It's probably close.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the locker room report from Michael Sussman. We'll do that on the Touchdown City Show.
The Touchdown City Show will be back right after this.
The relationship between a lawyer and a client is based on trust. You have to make certain that the lawyer you hire has your best interests at heart. This is attorney Ben Salengo. Just like the Mountaineers are fighting hard on the field, the Salengo Law Firm will fight hard to win your case. Whether it's medical malpractice, automobile or trucking accidents, hiring an experienced lawyer will make a difference in the outcome of your case. When you hire my law firm, you get results, not excuses. Check us out at salengolaw.com.
Ball Automotive Group is here for all your automotive needs. We have three locations with over 300 new vehicles available and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. Ball Automotive has been an integral part of our community, which we have proudly served for over 20 years. With over 1,300 online reviews, you'll see why our customers keep coming back. To see what Advantage Toyota of Barboursville, Ball Toyota of Charleston, and L&S Toyota of Beckley have to offer, visit us online at ballautomotivegroup.com.
Hello, it's Michael Sussman here with your Touchdown City game recap. West Virginia prevailed 17-6 over Pitt Saturday in the 106th edition of the Backyard Brawl. Here was head coach Neil Brown at Milan Puskar Stadium afterwards.
I said this to our team, and I made a point of this. It had been since November 25th of 2011, since the state of West Virginia and our fan base had experienced a win and been able to celebrate a win over Pittsburgh on the gridiron. Our state needed this. Our university needed this. Our football program needed this. And so this is a huge win on a bunch of different levels.
The game began with a West Virginia 3-and-out, followed by Pittsburgh stringing together an 11-play, 67-yard drive. Pitt was held to a field goal thanks to a critical third-down stop from linebacker Trey Lathan, who led the Mountaineers with 8 tackles.
He's athletic enough playing coverage. He plays in our speed and our third down packages and does a nice job. Should have had a pick tonight. You know, he's probably the one time we got a hand on the ball that we didn't intercept it. But he's getting better, and he's a guy that's got a bright future. He really does. I think it's a great story. You know, C.J. Donaldson and him from the same high school and really good friends, and I thought both of them performed well tonight.
On the ensuing drive, WVU quarterback Garrett Green sustained a game-ending leg injury, thrusting backup quarterback Nico Marchiol into the spotlight. Here's what the redshirt freshman out of Chandler, Arizona, had to say about it.
The backup quarterback position is the most interesting and, I think, challenging positions in all of sports because you prep just like you're the starter all week, you know, every rep, and you may not do anything for 3.5 hours, but that's the job, that's the role I play. And then, you know, in the rare occurrences, like tonight, you know, my number was called.
Midway through the second quarter, the Mountaineer offense marched the ball down to the Pitt 14. Unfortunately, WVU would squander the opportunity on a Marchiol lost fumble. Moments later, WVU safety Aubrey Burks delivered the play of the night, picking off Phil Jerkovic and returning it 26 yards to the Panther 7-yard line.
Scramble drill, just plastering on the guy, see the ball in the air. every opportunity you get, you got to take advantage of it. So I took advantage of the opportunity and tried to make something happen for our offense. And, you know, they finished off the rest with fun points on the board. I got tackled by the quarterback. I think that's pretty bad.
Nico Marchiol then capitalized by hitting Cole Taylor on a 7-yard touchdown pass. Here's what Nico had to say on the impact of Taylor in the WVU offense.
He's one of the major keys of our offense, of our whole team. You know, being a young quarterback, one of the things you really want to try to do is get early completions, gain some confidence, get a little momentum. And it's hard to miss a 6'7" tight end, so put it in the vicinity, and he goes and makes a play.
Pitt salvaged a field goal before the half to make it 7-6 West Virginia.
And so you got to be able to adjust. And so that's what I was saying. You know, that's when kind of the call sheet that we had, you know, kind of put that away and had some notes that I took at halftime. And then I kind of maintained those notes on some things I saw, how they were playing us.
West Virginia leaned on running back C.J. Donaldson to grind out the victory as the sophomore toted the ball 18 times for 102 yards and a touchdown. Donaldson's TD came on a 1-yard run with 5:05 left in the second quarter to put the Mountaineers ahead 14-6.
Well, you know, I was definitely fired up, you know, to have an opportunity to score. And, you know, against a big rivalry game, that's definitely an amazing opportunity.
CJ imposed his will all night, which he told me all about after a quick call from Mom.
What's it feel like when you start to wear down a
Wait, one second. Hello, Mom. Hey, Mom, hold on. I'm in every car. I'll call you back, please. Yes, ma'am. Can I call you back? Thank you. Sorry.
You got to take that one.
You know, it's definitely fun just running the ball. As I continue to play running back, it feels so natural. And, like, I really love playing the running back position. It's just a different feeling knowing that one person cannot tackle me. It just feels so great, and I'm just so thankful. I'm just thankful for it. I'm just very grateful for it.
Donaldson's score was complemented right away by an interception from defensive back Beanie Bishop, who sliced and diced a 40-yard return to the Pitt 30.
You know, I got back to my receiver days. I cut back a few times, you know, seen some linemen, and I was like, my eyes got real big then. But, you know, I got tackled, so, you know. And I had told those guys, I told Aubrey after he got his, I said, if I get one, I'm taking it to the house. Wait, didn't get there, though.
West Virginia would kick one more field goal to go up 17-6 late in the third and coast to victory in front of a raucous crowd of over 61,000.
We didn't do it for ourselves. We did it for the state of West Virginia. This whole week, we was talking about how we're going to do it for the state of West Virginia, just not for us. We took it personal last year. You know, we didn't come out on top, and we had a bunch of West Virginia people there, and this year we just wanted to give them something to be proud about.
That's WVU safety Aubrey Burks on the Touchdown City Locker Room Report.
As believers in this game, we are also owners of it. Through a community-wide commitment to a smarter game, we can help ensure that programs, that kids, that communities, that together, we will lead the game of football toward a stronger future.
Protect and perform like the pros. Use Riddell. Contact Casey Turley, your West Virginia Riddell sales rep, at 304-552-5960. Again, that's 304-552-5960. Tired of manually updating your online payment information every time your card is lost, stolen, or expired? Let CardSwap from Summit Community Bank take care of it for you. CardSwap lets you update your payment information for multiple merchants and subscriptions all in one place. Simply add your Summit debit or credit card to CardSwap and we'll update your payment information automatically. Convenience when you need it most. That's service beyond expectations. Sign up for CardSwap today through Summit Community Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Hurricane. You know, Gene and Ryan built their business the old-fashioned way by making friends. There are no gimmicks or games at Walker, just honest, fair deals, and their method is so straightforward, it may shock you. Friendly service and a huge selection of inventory with more arriving daily. When you're ready for your next vehicle, take the short 20-minute drive from Charleston or Huntington to Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Hurricane exit of I-64. Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, making friends one deal at a time.
To hear more of the Touchdown City Show, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or Spotify.
And welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church studio. And as we have been doing the entire season so far, we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the 1993 undefeated regular season for the West Virginia Mountaineers. And if you've not heard any of the episodes, go back on our podcast archives. We've got some great interviews over there with some Mountaineer greats. And speaking of Mountaineer greats, I've got another one joining us. If you guys would please welcome Charles Emmanuel. How are you, Charles?
I'm good, Anthony. Thanks for having me on, my man.
Well, I'm excited to have you on because obviously, you know, the 1993 season is special for a lot of people, and it's hard to believe that it's been 30 years.
Yeah, it, man, it goes by fast, right? Yeah. It's hard to think that we have 30 years. I think I remember when we celebrated 20 years, about 10 years ago. Mm. Crazy to think that we're not 30.
Yeah. So when you think back, obviously, you know, I've reached out to you. I'm sure other people have. You guys have some events coming back. When you sit and think about it and think about that season, what are some of the first things that pop into your head?
Well, actually, I mean, it was a, you know, you think about the guys, right, that you play with and the friendships and that you've developed over the years. But when you really think back on that season, you know, we had came off of the 92 season and we really thought we were a talented football team, you know, in 92. And really didn't know what 93 was going to, that season was going to look like. And, you know, but it just had the right leadership, you know, had the right chemistry of players, young players. I was, you know, among those young players that was, you know, we were talented. We wanted to make an impact on the field. And it was just a nice real mix of great leadership and good talent and a lot of young talent on that squad as well.
And speaking of good leadership, let's just start right there at the top. Let's talk about Coach Don Nealon and what he did, you know, leading his second team to an undefeated regular season. Just talk about Coach's leadership and how he made that all work throughout the course of that season.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, now that you look back over the years and you realize how hard that is to do, right, what he did, you know, two undefeated seasons and held in 96, we were on verge of doing it again. That's a whole nother story.
It's a whole nother show.
Coach Nealon is just, you know, top notch, class A, class act. His leadership and in terms of, you know, developing a team and developing leaders and setting the right standard. It was top notch. I mean, I look back over it, man, was really fortunate and blessed to be a part of a program up under his leadership. You know, I think all the guys come through that era. I know, as a matter of fact, I mean, I know it because we all stay in contact, you know. Mm-hmm. We stay in contact. We appreciate those years. And not only that, I think his leadership just shows a lot more guys on and off the field because a lot of group of those guys have gone on, you know, in their lives and have led successful lives off the field, you know, as well.
Absolutely. Let's get into one of the big games of the season, and I want to talk about Louisville. Probably one of the most contested games of that on that schedule. I know a lot of people look at Boston College and they look at Miami, which we'll try to get into. But let's talk about Louisville. What do you remember about that game being super close and highly contested early in the season?
Yeah, man, it was, hell, if I recall, Braum, it was one of the Braum brothers that, mm-hmm. that was a quarterback.
Yeah, he was quarterbacking.
Quarterbacking at that time. And they had a team, you know, they had some talent on the outside in terms of receivers. Obviously, a quarterback that was throwing it around. And it was a battle, you know what I mean? It was a back-and-forth battle. But it was something about that team just that year, if you really look at that schedule. We put off a lot of close games. We figured out a way to win it when we had to win it. And that was one of them. You know, it was a great home atmosphere. And we pulled out, you know, a close victory. Mm-hmm. But really, that's what that team was. That's what it was about. We won a lot of close games that year to keep it going.
You mentioned the 1992 team earlier. And do you think the difference was, and I've heard a lot of guys say this, and just correct me if you think I'm wrong, and even Coach Nealon's quoted as saying it, the 92 team didn't get the breaks. The 93 team got all the breaks. And that was kind of the difference in the seasons.
Yeah, you know, that's a head coaching speak, you know, talking, you know, the player would say, man, we were just damn good. Yeah. Right? 93. But no, he's right. I mean, we got some breaks in 93. We did. But what I really like the chemistry makeup of that team. Mm-hmm. Again, you had a lot of young talent, guys that, you know, were ready to emerge on the scene. Myself, Mike Logan, you know, Aaron Beasley, Van Washington, the Canute Curtis, the list can go on. The John, hell, I think John Thornton maybe came in after on 93, but mm-hmm. We just had a really good group of young guys, and then you had some great leadership in Mike Collins, Big Rich Graham, you know, Jay Kelchner, Darren Studsteel, right? Those guys, Tim Brown, you know, just really great senior leadership on that team with a nice, great chemistry of young talent that I think was a great mix.
The Miami game, big game towards the end of the season at this point. You guys are ranked, but really the national press, the press was saying this is going to be the test for this team. If we're going to find out if they're for real this week.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the practices leading up to that game, and what do you remember about the atmosphere around Mountaineers Field that day?
Listen, I still get chills. I mean, just thinking about it right now, I'm getting chills because we knew it from the beginning of the week. I mean, literally, when you hear teams talk about you win during the week, not on game day, it really is about your approach in terms of practice. We had a hell of a week of practice. The buzz on the, you know, just at the facility, you know, practices were, you know, high, intense. Everyone knew that this was an opportunity to get a big team in Morgantown at night. We knew we weren't going to leave there without a victory, right? And but you could feel that energy on campus and throughout the entire, you know, throughout Morgantown that week. And then, hell, you get the game day on Saturday. It's a night game, and it was an amazing, amazing atmosphere, man. It was just, that's what it's all about right there. Sold out crowd, top ranked teams, and you're playing late in the season for a chance to better yourself, to get, you know, get in position to maybe go and try to compete for a national championship.
I've always been told that a lot of the, you know, obviously the preparation starts in the position room. Who is your position coach?
So at that time, our position coach was, I think it was Kevin Ramsey.
Ramsey, okay.
Yeah, I think it was Kevin Ramsey at that time, either Dunlap or Kevin Ramsey at that time. And, because.
What do you remember about your unit, just the preparation for in the team rooms, and going over onto the practice field about prepping for Miami? What were some things that you guys had to kind of scheme and get ready for?
Well, you know, we knew they liked to throw it around. I think, you know, they had a spread offense, right? And they had they ran a single back, but it was a spread offense. And we knew they were going to throw it around a bit, you know, and want to run with their big back. If I'm not mistaken, hell, I think it was James Stewart, may have been a running back then. But you know, we knew we were gonna have to play well on the perimeter, right? And you know, keep them from making big plays, right? Mm-hmm. Take away the big play and stay in the game with them, right? And create some turnovers. And we were fortunate to do it. You know, create some turnovers when we needed it. I know Mike C got a big interception that game that really kind of turned the tide for us, and we were able to get the ball and drive downfield, and still remember it, man. Robert Walker punching it into the end zone, baby.
Yeah, you know, obviously late in the game, it was a defensive battle. I mean, if I remember correctly, it was 3-0 going into halftime. And then late in the game, you guys fell behind. What do you remember about that play? Obviously, it's before the video boards, and you can't see exactly what's going on, but what do you remember about that pop when he takes it around the corner?
Well, I mean, when he takes it around the corner, and I think it was, you know, it was toward the scoreboard, well, the open end of where the hospital, that side. Well, you know, when Robert got outside, everyone on the sideline kind of knew he was getting to the end zone. I mean, Rob Walker, he wasn't a shifty guy, make you miss, but straight line speed, no one was faster, right? And he showed that several times throughout the year. Hell, even when we went up and played Syracuse and had that 97-yard run. But, you know, when we saw that, I mean, we knew he was going there.
Obviously, the celebration was huge, and we just have a few seconds here. What do you remember about the celebration and the atmosphere in Morgantown that night and even within the next few days?
Yeah, man. It's one of the most – I mean – one of the best memories of football memories that I have, really, of the students storming the field, jumping on the goalpost, pulling the goalpost down. Hell, I think they carried that goalpost man down High Street. You know, it was a crazy, crazy atmosphere, man. It was what college football was all about. So it was a special night. It really was.
Absolutely. We're talking to Charles Emanuel, and for the listeners, if you want to hear the rest of the interview, go over and find us on your favorite podcast platform at touchdowncity.com. And I'm going to continue with my conversation, but the guys will be joining us for the rest of the radio show. We'll do all that after this.
Hi, welcome to Huntington.
Hi, I'm calling with the asterisk free checking from your commercial. How long does the free trial run before fees start?
Oh, our asterisk free checking is always free to open and never requires a minimum balance.
Really? Never? Like never ever?
Yep, never ever.
Actually, fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you for banking with Huntington.
Learn more at Huntington.com/checking. Welcome to Huntington.
It's Mountaineer football season at Tony the Tailor. Tony the Tailor is the Valley's preeminent men's clothing store. Master Tailor Anthony Parazino has assembled an extraordinary combination of world-renowned vendors and support staff with one goal in mind, to exceed your expectations. In addition to hand-tailored clothing, Tony the Tailor also sells quality WVU apparel from Johnny O to show your support for the Mountaineers. Use promo code LETSGO for 20% off WVU apparel at bestmastertailor.com.
Hey, Mountaineer fans, are you game day ready? When you want to show your West Virginia pride, Alumni Hall is your ultimate shopping experience. The best and largest selection of apparel for the family. Nike, Champion, Columbia, Cutter and Buck, plus gifts and accessories. Alumni Hall, located in the Shops at Trace Fork in South Charleston, or shop anytime at alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Mountaineer fans shop.
Text the guys questions or comments at 304-9696-TDC. That's 304-9696-TDC.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church studio with the guys, Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, Avon Coburn. And this week's Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. If you know the answer, give us a text, 304-9696-TDC. And you will win a $25 gift card from our friends at Alumni Hall. Trivia question this week. How many times has Patrick Mahomes beat West Virginia? How many times has Patrick Mahomes beat West Virginia? If you know the answer, give us a text. 304-9696-TDC for a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. All right, Michael. What are some of the headlines? What was going on in the world of sports this week and this weekend?
The 18th-ranked Colorado Buffaloes survive 43-35 over rival Colorado State. A much better game than was expected, despite all the pregame trash talk. What'd you think of the Buffs pulling it up?
I watched this game till about halftime, and I was mad because I couldn't stay awake. I fell asleep. I was trying to keep awake to watch the game. But you know, Travis Hunter got taken out early in this game by Colorado State on what was pretty much a blatant cheap shot on the sideline. He's out a couple weeks. And kudos to Colorado State, because I feel like they really brought it last night. They're an under they're not a great team. They're pretty much supposed to be one of the worst teams in the country, but they gave Colorado all they wanted. That's usually a good game. That's kind of like a Marshall-West Virginia thing.
Good rivalry game.
Yeah, good rivalry game.
You know, we got to give Deion a little love here. Yeah, man. You see where his sunglasses company sold like $1 million of the sunglasses?
In fairness, they're 3-0. It's not like anybody expected them to be 3-0 at this point either.
Well, I didn't know he was selling. That was his sunglasses that he was wearing.
Wow.
So, Deion, being the marketing genius that he is.
He's on 60 Minutes.
People are loving Deion right now. You know, he could have been in Morgantown, but
he's gone. Alabama, unimpressive 17-3 over South Florida. They've played three quarterbacks this year. Melro did not see action yesterday, but actually has the best statistics of the three so far. If you're Nick Saban, what do you do?
Pray. Because their quarterback play is very bad. Their offensive line is very bad. I mean, they have a ton of talent. They have a boatload of talent. But they, it's hard to tell what's going to come of Alabama. They still got a hard schedule ahead. And yesterday, you could see the look of, like, he was disgusted walking into the locker room. I've never seen Saban look like he was just beat down, and he was yesterday. I watched most of that game, and it was very boring. Alabama couldn't even get a first down in the first half. It was hard to watch.
I saw a little bit of this game, and I thought it was interesting that you always talk about setting the tone. The South Florida defense came out and set the tone. They ran a halfback dive right up the middle. This linebacker came right up. He drilled that kid, put his head back, and got up and danced. I mean, nothing Florida guys are. Let him know, man. And they set the tone early defensively. Obviously, they don't have the horses to run the full race with Alabama, but they knew what was going on.
But I'll tell you what, at the same time, Alabama could not block them. They sacked the third quarterback that Alabama, it was the second quarterback, but the third string quarterback. They sacked him four or five times in like two quarters. Alabama could not block. I mean, they were sending some blitzes, I guess, but they just could not block up front. It was stunning to see Alabama not be able to block teams, because usually they can go out there and just take the running back and the quarterback and run right down the field. And not
feel
have to
sorry
worry
for
about
him.
It.
That's the Deion effect. He went and got all of their backups.
Yeah, I mean, that's what those kids, and now those kids are 3-0, and Alabama's 2-1.
Who'd have thought?
The top-ranked Georgia Bulldogs have some trouble early with South Carolina, end up grinding out a 24-14 victory. What'd you think of the Bulldogs Saturday?
I didn't watch a whole lot of this game because I feel like Georgia, I didn't even they were down 14-3, and I really didn't feel like they were even in trouble because South Carolina, Georgia's defense is amazing. It's the best defense in the country. It's got the best players on it. I turned it on for a few minutes. Georgia's fantastic. I think Georgia might be the best team in the country again. But they're ripe for the picking because their quarterback play isn't very good either, and he may turn the ball over against someone good and they lose. But the problem is the SEC East is very bad.
I didn't get to see it. Obviously, I was in Morgantown doing my thing. So I didn't see. We saw a few games yesterday, but this wasn't one of them. But listen, Georgia, they have the horses, man. It's still early. They'll get it going.
Yep.
We'll update you on the results next week, but right now we sit here with a couple of men about to attempt the impossible, and that is winning a regional wing-eating competition. Avon Coburn and Anthony Lewis about to partake. Give me a projection. What's a winning number?
To me, I would say winning number is probably going to be about 36.
36.
Yeah.
And how about this guy calling me the night, trash-talking me Friday night?
Absolutely.
Really?
No, hey. Thursday night. He calls me, and he's basically trash-talking me. About the winging contest.
Hey, I mean, I was second place last year. So
if you're going to get in something, you give it your all.
Oh, 100%. That's
right.
I'm going to talk a little bit of trash.
Three dozen wings.
I want to get in his head.
Man, you got to. Well, here's the deal, man. You're going to have to knock Kenny Bass out of this thing, or Mage. You know, Mage likes wings.
Yeah, but so, I mean, you can like wings, but they're not going to be seasoned up and flavor. It's going to be plain wings.
And it's timed. It's timed. Yeah. So that gives you an advantage, too, with the time, because if you can eat them faster, you're obviously, you know, better. Now, if it was a long contest, like an hour long, I don't think you guys would stand a prayer.
No.
I think you guys would be in trouble.
It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
10 minutes, 36 wings. Is there a strategy? Do you try to say, like, 6 wings a minute? Or I guess that you go fast out of the gate, and then you kind of taper off naturally. What's the pace?
Yeah, my competition's in the room, brother. While he's asleep, I'm practicing. So just know I'm ready. Smallest guy, weight-wise, but possibly weight-wise, going to take home the trophy today.
Well, good luck. Good luck to you, my friend.
He's calling his shot.
I don't need luck. I don't need luck.
Hey, I do want to tell the listeners out there, if you are if you're familiar with what we do at Christmas, we have an event for an organization called the Sugar Bowl Foundation. I want to go ahead and make this announcement on the air. November the 11th, when West Virginia plays at Oklahoma, we'll be having our Sugar Bowl Foundation event at Buffalo Wild Wings. And our special guest is going to be Owen Schmidt. And over the years, we've probably several hundred kids that we've sponsored. So we'll be providing some Christmas gifts for kids at the Davis Child Shelter. And we also work with the Crosslanes YMCA. So it's a lot of fun. You know, not had much luck with that as far as wins and losses. But
it's a tall task this year, too.
Well, just think about it this way. I didn't pick, like, Duquesne because we would have went out and laid an egg versus them. So we pick Oklahoma, a game you're not supposed to win, and you can have a good time. And
35-point spread.
Oh, man, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, who knows with this team and the way the Big 12 is going. But it's a lot of fun. I'm going to get ready to get the website updated, sugarbowlfoundation.org. And, you know, I encourage you to come out. And we'll have a lot of cool stuff. Got some autographed footballs and jerseys and pictures. And I don't even know. I know Pac-Man. I don't know. I got a bunch of stuff. So it'd be another exciting year for the Sugar Bowl Foundation.
Yeah, if you're a collector, come on out. And this is a great event because, I mean, it's a task for him. But what he does for these kids and I mean, giving them cameras and tablets and giving them things that they don't have access to ever have. So this is important. This is important to him. And I mean, he's not downplaying it at all, but it's very important what he does in the community. So, this foundation is always, and I always show up too, cause I'm here. So, you know, I'll sign some stuff for him and
showed up when he wasn't here. He flew in one year for
it's my guy. So, you know, if you're in the area, make sure, even if you're not in the area, come on in. You're right by the racetrack, or dog track, I'm sorry. And, you know, come show some love.
Let's get into it. West Virginia, Texas Tech this weekend in Morgantown. Michael Sussman, predictions.
I can see a letdown coming. Texas Tech 38-21.
I got Texas Tech as well. I mean, I don't think West Virginia is going to be able to stop them. I'm going to say Texas Tech 35, West Virginia 17. I can't see West Virginia pulling this one out.
I don't like our coach. I don't like our coaches. And I mean, great people, but as far as calling the game, I just don't see them. I don't have faith, but the players are the people that I believe in. If you are a WVU person, if you've been on that field, you know you got an opportunity. Despite the coaches, I do feel like we're going to win this game. It's going to be a close game, 28-24 WVU, because our defense is playing well. And I know there's holes, but I do think we'll have an opportunity.
So I'm thinking, you know, Neil Brown's not had much success against Texas Tech. So you got to start to ask yourself, is this the year that he gets this monkey off his back? And the answer is no. Texas Tech over West Virginia. And I'm hoping I'm wrong because I want to see West Virginia start moving in the right direction. So we'll see if these predictions come true. But I want to take this opportunity to say thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week on the Touchdown City Show.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.